Dear God, we just thank you for this morning, and we're just so humbled and honored for another opportunity to seek your face, oh God. Father, I just ask that you sit me down as you stand up, that I decrease as you increase, oh God. Lord, I may not know everything, but you know everything, oh God. So I ask that you just share just a little bit of your wisdom, a little bit of your insight and revelation of your servant on this morning, oh God. That, like you're asking, like Moses, what do you have in your hand, oh God? And what I have in my hand, I will share with your people, oh God, because it comes from you. So use me for your glory as I share some of these principles with your people on this morning. So I'm just so grateful for this opportunity to worship you, to call on your name, because even when I'm preaching, I am praying. When I'm preaching, I'm calling out to you with every single word, asking you to help us, asking you to help our family, asking you to help our community and our nation, oh God. So as I decree these words of your people, I am also crying out to you, Lord, help us, oh God. We stretch our hands unto thee, no other help we know on this morning, oh God. So God, we are just so grateful for what you are doing in this worship experience in this morning. So we just ask one more time to have your way, have your way, have your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The scripture reading was quite lengthy, and it was already read earlier this morning. And I do encourage you to please read Daniel 10 in its entirety, well, as during your personal study. But we're just going to focus on, real quick, we're going to refocus on verse 12 through 14 one more time. So I'm just going to read Daniel 10 verses 12 through 14 one more time, which is where my main focus is coming from. And the word of the Lord reads this. Then he continued, he being the angel that appeared before Daniel. Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. The word of the Lord is already blessed. And on this morning, I want to come from the subject of angelic assistance. Amen. How many of you are grateful for angelic assistance? Glory to God. I've always been, even as a child, you know, growing up, I would say this all the time, growing up in Christian school and just learning all these different things, I was always fascinated when the Bible talked about angels and just their presence, and how, of course, when we were younger, we were thought to think that they were like, you know, these cute, innocent, you know, creatures and all of that. Then when you get a little older and then you actually find out what angels actually look like, and you're like, oh. But what I love is you do see that in some cases, the angels will try to take on a form that a human can understand, because even the forms they do take on, it could still freak somebody out, as you even saw with Daniel, where he was trembling at the sight. But I'm just grateful for how more times than not in our lives, even as we're growing in Christ, we won't see the angels, we won't always feel them, but we are very aware, and the scriptures tell us that God has given us angels in our lives that help carry out his will for our lives. Our angels are literally, the same we have natural parents, the angels are also like those guardians, almost like, I want to call it like, you know, like how, no shit, I don't want to get in trouble, you know, like how sometimes like the famous people, like, you know, presidents, or, you know, let's be honest, you know, some preachers with a bit more status, they got the whole entourage with them, you know, they looking like FBI with the sunglasses. They got to make sure that nobody shine a heart in. They got to discern both naturally and spiritually that nothing's going to come across them. But that's what your angels are like, that everywhere you go, they are walking with you. Everywhere you go, even if you don't feel it, they are literally holding you by the hand. Because one of the promises of God that we see David declare in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 2, is that he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands, they shall bear you up, unless you dash your feet against the stone. That is their assignment. They are called to literally hold you up and give you strength. Because the best way in a modern day context think about angels is, think of it as, I'm sure everybody here, I know I'm guilty, who is, let's be honest, addicted to Amazon. And you know how Amazon works. You know, you order, sometimes you order way more than you're supposed to. You're supposed to order one thing. Right. You're supposed to order one thing, that's supposed to cost like $5-$10, and you know, the bill's like $100 and all of that. But Amazon works like the angels, where what the angels do with their activity is, when we call to God, it's like placing our spiritual Amazon order to God, whatever we need. Now, of course, not like Amazon, we can just get whatever you want. It has to be praying and asking according to the will of God. But when they hear the will of God, when God hears you calling to him according to the things that he desires for your life, that's when the angels begin that process. Because what happens, there's this beautiful exchange from the Holy Spirit to the Father sitting on the throne. The Holy Spirit in you engages with the Father sitting on the throne. And then those angels are part of the process of delivering the things that you ask him for. And then he sends the command for them to come to you. But what we don't realize is, like, there is actually several things that angels have to do to get here. First, they do live with the Lord, you know, like how you always hear, like, the angels are around this throne crying, holy, holy, holy. But also there is a dimension that they have to cross through, and that is the dimension of darkness, where the enemy and his minions, the one-third of heaven that decided to walk with him, that's where they exist. That's where they do all their dirty work as they come to and fro from heaven, you know, to and fro from that dimension, trying to seek whom they devour. But the truth is that angels of heaven have to go through that dimension in order to get to us, because that's what it says when the angel told Daniel that he was detained. He had to get through what they call that second heaven. He had to plow through there, but he was restricted. But that's why I love the fact that, you know, they are so brave and they're so bold, that I'm so grateful that the more we pray, it assists them. Because what I love is, like, you see how the angels visit us, but they don't know what they have to go through to get to us, because we might have thought growing up that the angels were almighty, but they are not. Only God is almighty. The angels are not almighty and invincible like we think they are, and that they are not above restriction. And I know when you probably first heard my title, you probably thought I was talking about the angels assisting you. But what if I told you that God's 24-hour praise team, that God's army, that God's beings, who we were made slightly less than, need our help just as much as we need theirs?
Come on.
Because this is a season where you are being promoted in your prayer life, and where God is about to show you how much more weight your prayers hold more than ever before. Because, like I said before, we are so used to, you know, everything being done for us, you know, leaning on, in the case, leaning on the angels, leaning on the fact, oh, I had a praying mother, I had a praying grandmother. But there comes a time where you are going to have to pray for yourself, where you're going to have to learn how to call on the name of the Lord for yourself. And this is what I mean by angelic assistance. This is a charge to the people of God, and a cry and an alert saying that the angels actually need your assistance.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about the passage is that we see that Daniel has a prayer life, and that we realize when he's put in this situation where he was praying for several weeks, this wasn't a last minute resort of prayer. He's been praying for a long time. He's been walking with the Lord for a long time. He saw some things. He saw God do some things before. He saw them deliver his friends a few chapters ago from the fiery furnace. So he has seen the Lord before. But these are just some principles that you can get from Daniel's prayer life that will help you walk and mature in your own life of intercession. And the first thing that you see is that Daniel had authenticity in his prayer life. That's the first point, authenticity in his prayer life. Because Daniel didn't just pray with his friends or pray in a public space or pray only when times got tough. But he was consistent all times, all day and all night. And he truly was an experienced and mature intercessor. He didn't pray for the approval or acceptance of man. So he wouldn't stop praying even when it's outlawed like it was here. Right. There was a decree that nobody was supposed to pray during this season. And Daniel said, I don't care. Right. I wasn't praying for y'all to impress y'all. So even if it don't look cute, even if you don't understand, even if you try to tell me it don't take all that. I remember being told your prayers are too much or you're praying too Pentecostally. I didn't know that was even a word for our type of tradition. But I don't care. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've experienced with the Lord in my private time. So my prayers ain't for you. My prayers are for God and God alone. Right. So I'm not going to let, whether you pat me on the back for praying, stop me. And I'm not going to let the absence stop me either. Right. Because we should not be complaining about prayer or having to push, because we are so privileged, especially in this country. I can't thank God enough, because we forget how many countries outside of America where people are dying just to pray. People are dying just to hold on to a Bible. They gotta secretly meet up and go to church. So who cares if people don't understand your prayer life? Who cares if you feel like you're looking like a fool? I'm gonna enjoy these privileges, because God forbid in this lifetime these privileges to take away. Because the truth of the matter is, if it don't come in our lifetime, it is gonna definitely come in a lifetime, probably not too many generations from our wombs from now. So you better thank God for the privilege of prayer. You better thank God that this thing has not been restricted, even though the American church has been spoiled. But that's my message for this morning. But I'm just grateful to God for the privilege and opportunity for prayer. So it shouldn't be, God shouldn't have to push us to pray. He shouldn't have to, the praise and worship, he shouldn't have to beg us to worship and open up our mouths, because God don't care about the voice. God don't care about the eloquence. He just wants your heart.
Yes.
Because so many people have gotten insecure with their prayers, and this is why they're also insecure with the other gifts God has called them to, because it starts with prayer. But people get so discouraged because my prayers don't sound like my grandmother, my prayers don't sound like, you know, the preacher, it don't sound like the pastor, it don't sound like the reverend, doctor, chief, prelate, apostle, so on and so forth. It don't sound like the deacon, it don't sound like the MDiv, and demons with demon, not all of them, you know what I mean? You know, it's like, I feel like, because I don't have all the words, I don't have all the natural or spiritual language to articulate or try to impress, but I'm like, that's not the point of prayer. God don't care about none of that, because Jesus told his disciples when he was giving them a prayer 101 in Matthew 6, verse 5 through 8, when you pray, don't you dare be like them hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. But truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think, like I just said, they think they will be heard For there are many words, you know, like how, you know, like sometimes like all the words, like, you know, they just throw on scriptures and scriptures. Like, yes, there is an importance of quoting scriptures when you pray, but sometimes you can tell when somebody's starting to do it just to show off, to look like they got this mighty prayer life and how it, but they got to be careful because it makes others feel insecure. Because so what if a new convert doesn't know all the prayers, but clearly God was answering their prayers. Right. All they might have knew was Jesus. They might not know to call Jesus and say, God, if you out there, I need your help. And that was enough to get a response from God. So don't be like them phonies who only want to be seen in public, but they have no fruit in private. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So you don't got to do all this unnecessary stuff to get God's attention. God's not looking for your expertise in prayer. Expertise in prayer is not based on how good you sound. It's just based on your posture. Because it's just based on your heart. Because I know people, I tell my pastor this all the time. Me, her, several of my friends in the gospel, in the church world, we have been victims of prayer. You know, a prayer shawl wearing, tongue talking people that have been to act like witches because they got all these clothes, they got all these prayer shawls, they got all this food colored oil, but their hearts are pure evil, and all the abuse, all the neglect, all this nonsense, and you can tell, and people like, that can't because their prayers sound all anointed. But only God knows. And yet, that's why I love God reminding me that it don't, all of that don't matter. Yes, prayer shawls are nice, you know. They're symbols, you know, to help us push in prayer. But even if you don't have it, because like I keep saying, I know I sound like a broken record, but you cannot wait for some prayer shawl. You can't wait for some apostle or prophet to speak life into you. What are you going to do if you're in a hospital bed? What are you going to do when you're in the super? What are you going to do when there's an emergency that requires your prayer life, where you can't call your pastor, you can't call your prayer warrior, you can't call somebody that you think is more experienced than prayer than you, where the responsibility is going to fall on you? Because it's not about the quantity of your words or how long your prayer is. Now, when I say how long your prayer is, I'm not saying don't pray once. I'm saying, you know, pray often. Even if your often prayers are only 5 minutes, maybe your often prayers are an hour, but just pray often, but don't feel like you're not praying enough. You're only not praying for enough if you're only praying once. But pray periodically. All prayers aren't going to be on your knees, laying prostrate. Pray when you're in the car. Pray when you're chilling. You know, maybe you're doing work or studying for a class. Just pray often. Just stay in a constant communication with the Lord, because it's not about the quantity, but it's the quality of your ability to say things like, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. Because I may not know the Greek or the Hebrew, and I may honestly not know the Bible to cover to cover. But all I know is Jesus. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. It is not about how well I pray. All that matters is I know who I'm praying to. Because can we be honest? Too many times. Man, I'm getting trouble for so many people brag and boast about how they know the Bible cover to cover. I'm not discouraged by your Bible, because yes, studying your word is very important. But I get a little frustrated when people brag about knowing the Bible cover to cover, but the Bible still ain't in them.
Come on,
they can quote the whole chapter of Psalms. They can quote everything word by word. I know, sadly, when it comes like those apologetic arguments, people put the church in shame, saying, you know, oh, you know, the Jews know their book cover to cover, the Muslims know their book cover to cover. But let's be honest, back in the Bible day, back in the Old Testament, New Testament, these people that wrote the Bible, they didn't have a Bible to rely on. They was fully relying by the directions from God and the directions of the Holy Spirit. So what are we even bragging about? But I'm just going to leave that alone. But I just have to put that out there. That was for free. What are you bragging about? God don't care if you know the Bible cover to cover. He said, well, there are people that are going to say on that great day, Lord, I thought we pleased her. I got my doctorate. I got my PhD. You know, I got all the prayer shawls. All the famous people laid their hands on me and threw me across the room. I thought we was tight. He said, apart from me, I don't know you. So stop going for the clickbait because you don't have nothing. There's no special extra on the Bible cover to cover. And you don't even know the Lord yet.
Don't fall for the clickbait. Come on.
I'd rather hold on to just one strong scripture that I can stand on than bragging about knowing the Bible cover to cover, because that is meaningless.
It's meaningless.
Jesus. Ooh, that was for free.
Lord.
And then, wow, this is still only the first point. Next point. First we have authenticity. And next we have audacity. Thank you, Lord. Like I just said, opening up with audacity. Like I just said, be confident in your prayer life. Now that we got that away, now that you don't worry about having the words or the Greek or the Hebrew or the food color oil from some of the weird people on the church channel and stuff like that. Now that you got all of that out. You know, like some, look, I see, I'm sorry.
You're talking
about
the truth, okay?
You got to do all of this to get to God? What makes us better than the Catholics, when they got to go to all these saints to fight, they got to get to God? All these saints and all these angels to get to God. And yet they still miss the fact that we got direct access to the presence of God.
Direct, like direct deposit.
Come on here, right? Jeez. But right, exactly. So be confident in your prayer life, because it's not about all of that. You don't need all these different ways to get to God. Just call His name. I know it sounds too simple, but that's where faith is. It is supposed to be that simple. Because God wants you to be bold and specific and not to be afraid to pray about the big issues. Because I know we say things like, Lord, if it be your will, or we're kind of vague, you know. Like, I know, like, one of my favorite church songs back in the day was, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I want specifics. God wants you to be specific, because that shows how much faith you have in Him. God wants you to say situations by name. He wants you to call people by name. And He wants you to say, God, I need help with this. I need help with that person. Lord, I love my family, but sometimes... And even though I need you to give me strength, I need you to give me patience, I honestly need you to give me the strength not to give up on them the same way you didn't give up on me. But God wants specific prayers. In other words, that's why we need all those words. Just get to God and get straight to the point.
Straight to the point.
You do all this stuff. It's like, get straight to the point so I can answer you.
Because we already know.
Because God just wants us to have boldness, because you got to be bold, because there's some, God believes in us. Sometimes we forget. I love that. We believe in God, but God believes in us as well. He believes that He has placed inside of us the power to bring somebody out of death, that we have the power to deliver people from issues plaguing our community and country, that we have the right to even pray, God, show me more. Show me your glory. Show me your faith. Show me that there's more to this walk than just the good music and good preaching. Give me an encounter that I will never forget.
Right. Yes.
Because Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 also says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. That's why you don't need, Jesus got all the, Jesus is, since He is God, He has all the power, He has all the knowledge, He has all the answers. So that's why you don't need to do all this other stuff. Just call on the media. Just call on the man. He's already there. You don't got it. You don't need all this extra stuff to mediate for you. He's already there waiting for you just to call his name. Because if I could be transparent with you, some of my most intimate encounters with God and most powerful experiences in prayer didn't happen in a church building or at a church conference. It happened when I was in the hospital. It happened when I was in my college dorm room. It happened on my bed of affliction. It happened on my sleepless nights where I would cry myself to sleep and sometimes still be awake. And those were the times where I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple of my bedroom. His train filled the temple of my hospital bed, and it turned my times of torment into a tabernacle, because I am a witness that he is near to the brokenhearted and a rewarder to those who will diligently seek him. So you gotta be bold like David, who was able to look in the face of Goliath and say, y'all are so scared, y'all so worried because y'all been boasting in your swords and your army practice, and now y'all all shook. But if y'all had a prayer life, Goliath wouldn't intimidate you. But because I have a prayer life, because you don't know what I went through in private, having to deal with lions and bears, and not having the physical strength, only having the power of the Lord to rely on, I'm going to use that same power that I received in private, and I'm about to use it for a public miracle. And I'm about to stand in front of the Goliath and say, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? I'm about to take this giant down, because you may come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. So as I said, these are just qualities that Daniel had about his prayer life. He had authenticity. He had audacity. And of course, as we know where we get the Daniel fast from, he had availability. He yielded himself to a posture of prayer. He was available and consistent. Like I said, he didn't wait for this moment to start praying. He's been praying the whole time that he's knew the Lord. And he saw that when he got there, it didn't take him years to pray. It took him 21 days because he's been rehearsing for this moment. He's been practicing for this moment. He lives and breathes in the presence of God. So he just had to work a little bit more. But all that stored up experience, all that stored up crushing, it has led to a moment like this. Because as he was in a season of fasting, he needed to just avail himself to prayer, like what we're doing now, you know, sacrificing, you know, not rushing to breakfast when we first get up to pray, you know, not rushing to the TV show and all of that, but making sure that we're availing ourselves to prayer, to worship, to doing those things that God's called to do. I don't know about you, but writing some of the books that God been telling me to write, but using this time to engage in the presence of God. And we had to avail ourselves so that he can have as much energy as possible, so that we are able to engage with with the things that God wants us to do in our lives. And this is why this is where we get messed up sometimes, because I just heard a sermon a few days ago about somebody saying, you know, they tell us that people out there say you don't have enough faith if you pray and you don't leave it alone, you know. No, you're supposed to pray often. You're supposed to pray multiple times. You're supposed to keep going to God because your prayers are not annoying. God wants you to pray more than once because he enjoys that fellowship. Because I'm reminded how in Matthew 7, verse 7 through 8, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened unto them. Because I'm reminded of, when I think about that ask, seek, knock, I'm reminded of knock. You know, if somebody came to your door, like, you know, whether it was your office or your room, like one of your children or your spouse or all of that, Can you, how it's going to be hard to miss just that one knock, because people can't hear that if it's just one knock. Mm-hmm. But more times than not, I don't know how, but we came up with this interaction as humans where when we knock, it's just second nature that you have to knock more than once. It's not just one sound by itself, because you have to keep consistent with knocking so that you develop a rhythm that cannot be ignored. So you have to develop a rhythm in prayer through knocking by kneeling. You have to keep pressing in God's presence. You have to keep knocking. You got to keep knocking until they can't ignore it. Or you got to keep knocking until God opens the door. And this is why Daniel's authenticity, audacity, and availability led to accessibility, because the angels were slowed down by that warfare, but his prayers accelerated the answers. His prayers, like I said, that exchange between the Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit inside of us, those prayers literally became the wind beneath their wings, because once again, it is truly the Lord's breath in your lungs. So pouring out your prayers to him will allow the angels to push through the darkness, because the power of God will flow through a willing and available vessel. And as infinite and almighty as he is, he still desires your participation to bring forth the miracle you are believing for. Because a mother can be ready to birth her child, but it is not enough for the doctors, nurses, or midwives to push from the outside. She must also push from within in order to bring forth the offspring. A butterfly also cannot expect another butterfly to dig them out the chrysalis, but they must break themselves out, which also gives them the strength they need to fly on their own. And in the same manner, the Lord and his angels are counting on your prayers, your praise, and your posture so that they can deliver your promise. He was not deaf to your prayers from several seasons ago, but your angels are yet plowing through the resistance of the enemy. So keep pushing in prayer, sowing, and consecration, because these things will help you push your breakthrough out of your womb. Because I am so glad, like all I said about all these things don't matter. We don't need to pray to all these things. We don't need to use all of these different weapons to pray, because I'm reminded of that fateful day on Calvary when Jesus gave his life for ours, that there was a rumbling and there was a shaking, and the veil was torn so that we no longer needed priests. We no longer needed sacrifices, so that we can go to the presence of God for himself. And I'm reminded that he said on that fateful day when he rose from the dead, that he said, I have all power in my hands. And he gave that power to us. So you are part of that army. You are filled with the Spirit of God, because it is time for the intercessor to truly arise and not wait for somebody else to take you into prayer. It is time to rise up and allow the Spirit of the Lord to show you how to pray, because you don't got to be afraid to go in prayer by yourself. You don't have to feel like, oh, if I do this by myself, I'm going to get attacked. I don't know what I'm doing. All I know is it's not faith if you're certain about it. So you got to step out on faith and trust that the Holy Spirit will lead you, because like I just said, the Holy Spirit is around you. His angels are protecting you. All they are waiting for is a command from your mouth. So as I thank God for the angelic assistance that he has given each and every one of us, but now it is time to remember that this is a dance. This is a duet. And that the angels also need your assistance to deliver every single promise, every single answer, and all the power that God has put aside just for you. Jesus. Glory to God.